1956, the ICJ ruled that its deployment of the Contras to invade and attack Nicaragua and its mining of Nicaragua's ports were acts of aggression in violation of international law and ordered the U.S. to pay war reparations to Nicaragua. Then the U.S. declared that it would no longer recognize the jurisdiction of the ICJ and failed to pay up, Nicaragua asked the UN Security Council to enforce their reparations, but the U.S. vetoed the resolution. Atrocities like Hiroshima, Nagasaki, and the bombing of German and Japanese cities to unhouse the civilian population, as Winston Churchill called it, together with horrors of Germany's Nazis, led to adoption of the new Fourth Geneva Convention in 1949 to protect civilians in war zones and under military occupation. On the 50th anniversary of the convention in 1999, the International Committee of the Red Cross, ICRC, which is responsible for monitoring international compliance with the Geneva Conventions, conducted a survey to see how well people in different countries understood the protections the convention provides. They surveyed people in 12 countries that had been victims of war, in 4 countries including France, Russia, the UK, and the US, that are permanent members of the Security Council, and in Switzerland, where the ICRC is based. The ICRC published the results of the survey in 2000 in a report titled People on War, Civilians in Line of Fire. The survey asked people to choose between a correct understanding of the convention's civilian protections and a watered-down interpretation of them that closely resembles that of U.S. and Israeli regime military lawyers. The correct understanding was defined by a statement that combatants must attack only other combatants and leave civilians alone. The weaker, incorrect statement was that combatants should avoid civilians as much as possible as they conduct military operations. Between 72 and 77% of the people in other Security Council countries and Switzerland agreed with the correct statement, but the United States was an outlier, with only 52% agreeing. In fact, 42% of Americans agreed with weaker statement, twice as many as in other countries. There were similar disparities between the U.S. and others on questions about torture and the treatment of prisoners of war. In U.S.-occupied Iraq, the U.S. exceptionally weak interpretations of the Geneva Conventions led to endless disputes with the ICRC and the UN Assistance Mission for Iraq, UNAMI, which issued damning quarterly human rights reports. UNAMI consistently maintained that U.S. airstrikes in densely populated civilian areas were violations of international law. For instance, its human rights report for the second quarter of 2007 documented UNAMI's investigations of 15 incidents in which U.S. occupation forces killed 103 Iraqi civilians, including 27 killed in an airstrike in Khalidiya near Ramadi on April 3rd, and 7 children killed in a helicopter attack on an elementary school in Diyala province on May 8. UNAMI demanded that all credible allegations of unlawful killings by MNF, multinational force, be thoroughly, promptly, and impartially investigated, and appropriate action taken against military personnel found to have used excessive or indiscriminate force. A footnote explained, customary international humanitarian law demands that As much as possible, military objectives must not be located within areas densely populated by civilians. The presence of individual combatants among a great number of civilians does not alter the civilian character of an area. UNAMI also rejected U.S. claims that its widespread killing of civilians was the result of the Iraqi resistance using civilians as human shields. Another U.S. propaganda trope that the Zionist regime is mimicking today. Israeli regime accusations of human shielding are even more absurd in the densely populated, confined space of Gaza, where the whole world can see that it is Israel that is placing civilians in the line of fire as they desperately seek safety from the Zionist regime's bombardment. Calls for a ceasefire in Gaza are echoing around the world, through the halls of the United Nations, from a newly united front of previously divided West Asian leaders, and in the streets of London and Washington. The world is withdrawing its consent for a genocidal two-state solution in which the Zionist regime and the U.S. regime are the only two states that can settle the fate of Palestine. If the United States and Israeli regime leaders are hoping that they can squeak through this crisis and that the public's habitually short attention span will wash away the world's horror at the crimes we are all witnessing, that's maybe yet another serious misjudgment. As Hannah Arendt wrote in 1950 in the preface of The Origins of Totalitarianism, we can no longer afford to take that which was good in the past and simply call it our heritage. To discard the bad and simply think of it as a dead load, which by itself time will bury in oblivion. The subterranean stream of Western history has finally come to the surface and usurped the dignity of our tradition. This is the reality in which we live. And this is why all efforts to escape from the grims of the present into nostalgia for a still intact past or into the anticipated oblivion of a better future are in vain.
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, wishing for a blessing versus being envious. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed all of us with strengths and qualities. Different people possess different qualities. If you look around yourself, you would see that somebody has one strength and another person has another strength. And similarly, you carry a different strength. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, "And do not covet that by which Allah has made some of you excel others. Men shall have the benefit of what they earn, and women shall have the benefit of what they earn. And ask Allah of His grace. Surely Allah knows all things." Explaining this verse, Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam says, it means that nobody should wish that some favor and luxury bestowed on a certain person were given to him. But one can ask God to be endowed with the like of it, right? So this whole idea that this quality or this merit be taken away from that other person, this is condemned in Islam. But at the same time, Allah has given you the opportunity to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you a similar trait. There is a fine line between wishing for a blessing and wishing to snatch someone else's blessing for yourself. In fact, an envious person's wish never comes true because it is in the hands of Allah to grant and take away blessings from His beings, from His servants. Welcome back to your listeners. Today we are discussing the topic of wishing for a blessing versus being envious. And we said wishing for a blessing is, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. It's totally fine. You wish and pray to Allah to, you know, receive a blessing. But being envious, where you wish for other person to lose that blessing, is condemned in Islam. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, "The disaster of faith is envy, conceit, and pride." So again, three things are mentioned here. The first one in the list is envy. The second is conceit, and the third is pride. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam also said, "Envy negates faith as quickly as the fire negates the dry grass." Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, the sixth divinely appointed imam, said, "Believers are emulous, but not envious, and hypocrites are envious, but not emulous." He also said, "Avoid the punishment of Allah and do not envy each other." So he is basically informing us that there is severe punishment if you go down the route of being envious towards others. Imam Musa al-Qazim alayhi salam, the seventh divinely appointed imam, says, "The best thing for bringing man near to Allah, besides knowing Him, is praying, doing good to parents, and quitting envy, conceit, and pride." So it's very clear the direction that Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam wish for us to take. They have given us very clear guidelines that envy is one of the vices that the believer at no cost would have.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Hello, I'm Mubarak Kenya, and a big welcome to this week's edition of Africa Today.
Stay tuned with Africa Today.
Africa Today.
Israel's apartheid regime is increasingly isolated in Africa. The regime's ongoing genocidal war against innocent Palestinians in Gaza has sparked outrage across the continent. Governments are joining the public in condemning Israel's atrocities while expressing solidarity with oppressed Palestinians. South Africa has become the latest country to recall its diplomats from Tel Aviv to express concern over collective punishment of Palestinian civilians in Gaza. Chad also recalled its top diplomat from Tel Aviv. A post on the Chadian presidency website said the decision was made in indignation at the regime's relentless bombardment of Gaza. Nigeria cancelled the visit of the Czech prime minister at the 11th hour. Now, sources say Prague's pro-Israel stance in the United Nations on the ongoing genocidal war on Gaza was the main reason for this cancellation. Protests also continue to take place across Africa to condemn Israeli crimes. Now, recently, tens of thousands of people took to the streets of Cape Town, South Africa, demanding an end to Israeli atrocities in Gaza. Demonstrators also called on the South African government to expel the Israeli ambassador. Now, there is no doubt that the total isolation of Israel's apartheid regime in Africa, and indeed the world, is just beginning. Hello, I'm Mubarak Henia, and this is Africa Today. In this week's episode, we are focusing on increasing isolation of the Israeli criminal regime in Africa as masses continue to hold demonstrations across the continent in solidarity with the oppressed Palestinians in Gaza. So stay with us as our experts give us their incisive analysis on the subject.
Africa isolating Israeli apartheid regime. African countries are moving towards isolating Israel's apartheid regime following its genocidal war on Gaza. South Africa and Chad have shown the way by withdrawing their diplomats from Tel Aviv in the clearest sign that the African government, just like the people in the continent, are standing with Palestine.
The South African Foreign Ministry also read the Riot Act to the Israeli ambassador to the country. He was summoned to the Foreign Ministry after his disparaging comments against those who raise voices against attacks on Palestinians. South African Foreign Minister Naledi Pandor explained here the decision to recall the country's diplomats from Tel Aviv.
And we believe the nature of response by Israel has become one of collective punishment, which falls fully outside of the practice of international humanitarian and international human rights law.
For more information on the isolation of the Israeli regime in Africa, we have contacted Asisipho Solani. He's a lecturer of African politics at the University of South Africa. Thank you for your time, sir, today.
Thank you very much, Mubarak, and good evening to the viewers. And thank you for inviting me. Thank you for inviting me to come over.
We also have Shakiru Yekini, the Executive Secretary, Island Muslim Community Nigeria, and former Executive Director, Center for Global Peace Initiative. Thank you for your time, sir, today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, let's start off with Mr. Solani in South Africa. Now, South Africa has taken a very commendable move to recall its diplomats from Tel Aviv to protest the Israeli regime's genocidal war on Gaza. What's the significance of this move?
Thank you very much. I think it is it's a very, very important and a bold move by the South Africa. Quite long overdue move. It seeks to send a strong message around the need for a speedy response to this genocide in the Palestine land. And it's a very important and significant because South Africa has a better understanding of what it means to be in a particular position of predicament that the Palestinian people find themselves in this particular challenge. So it sends a particular strong message that we know what you're going through, and it's high time that we make a very assertive and strong message and say this must come to an end. And we've seen that different messages across the world have been coming, but something needs to be done urgently to try to make sure and to protect the lives of the innocent civilian and fight against this gross human rights violation system that is happening in the land of Palestine. So it is a very, very important call and a bold call by South Africa.
Tens of thousands of people recently marched through Cape Town, South Africa, many of them calling for a ceasefire in Gaza Strip. Now, it was one of the largest protests in the city in years, perhaps surpassed in scale only by demonstrations against the previous Israeli regime's war on Gaza. Many South Africans are calling for the total boycott and isolation of the Israeli apartheid regime.
We're telling the South African government, we'll outvote you. if you don't expel the Israeli ambassador who deliberately and openly and brazenly peddles apartheid. We are campaigning for BDS, boycott, divestment and sanctions in Israel. We must isolate it like we've isolated South Africa during the apartheid years. We must isolate Israel now.
Now, let's bring in Mr. Shakiru Yekini in Nigeria. Now, the message is quite clear there. The Israeli regime's ambassador is unwanted in South Africa. What's your take on this stand by the people?
I must say I'm very glad to have my opinion taken regarding the genocide going on in Palestine, courtesy of Israeli atrocities subsidized in full by the Western countries led by the United States of America. With regard to the feelings in South Africa, which clearly shows that the country doesn't want to have anything to do with the apartheid regime in Israel, I think it is very appropriate with what South Africans have experienced in their own country as a formal settler colonial apartheid state. If you remember that when apartheid was at the peak in South Africa, one of the last nations, despite a global outcry against that system, one of the very last nations to severe ties with South Africa, with then apartheid South Africa, was Israel. So you could see a link between the white Boer government of South Africa, the apartheid government in South Africa, and what you have in Israel today.
Chad has recalled its top diplomat in Tel Aviv for consultations due to the Israeli regime's crimes in Gaza. The Israeli regime has invested massively in the country in its project to impose itself on Africa. Chad's decision is important as it constitutes a major blow to the Israeli regime as it marks the beginning of its decline on the continent.
The move by Chad is a very, very important move. It seeks to send a strong message. And it sends a strong message because of the historical relations between Chad and Israel, that Israel has been trying to infiltrate Africa and attempting to use Chad. And because the geopolitics at the current moment, countries are generally driven by national interests. There's not much ideological relations, but it's what is called international cooperation. But it seeks to be a very bold move to say, we are calling your diplomats, irrespective of our own relations that we have and what we stand to benefit from those relations. But in trying to call them and say, but this is what is happening is wrong in this country. So it's a very, very important move that is going to send a strong message right across the continent, which will make it difficult for Israel to enter, to penetrate the continent, because there's a particular strong, bold position by their own allies in the continent that is saying this must come to an end. It must come to an end now.
The people of Nigeria, Africa's most populous country, have also continued to show solidarity with oppressed Palestinians. Haji Anaja Tubala Muhammad, a prominent Nigerian politician and human rights activist, spoke at a recent rally in Kano in support of the Palestinians and condemning Israeli atrocities in Gaza.
You see, it's not just about Islam. It's not just about Muslim leaders. It's about humanity. It's about the right to live. It's about the right to justice. It's about the right to own your land and be free in your land. It's about saying no to the massacre of innocent people. It's about saying no to humanity for justice. It's about saying yes to justice for the Palestinians. Their land have been taken away from them. They have been killed. They are still being killed. And the world sits and watch. No, we are saying no to it. It is unacceptable. As human beings, we have a right to live as free as everybody else, because this is a God-given right. God has given us the right to live in peace, the right to own our land, the right for justice. They have none of these things. Palestine has none of this. So we are saying no to it. They have been occupied for over 75 years. So we have to say no to it. It's unacceptable. It's just like people coming over to Nigeria and taking over our land and killing us and making us subservient and turning us into slaves.
The Nigerian Senate has also called on the government to urgently take steps to cooperate with other countries to immediately end the genocidal war waged by the Israeli regime against Gaza. Now, this is for Mr. Solani in South Africa. What role can legislative bodies or parliaments in Africa play in ending the Israeli genocide and isolating the regime?
Thanks, Mubarak. I think it is important that we understand that the call against what is happening in Palestine is not only a political call. Because people might only want to narrow it to a political statement that needs to be said. Of course, to a certain extent, it's a political call that needs to be made. However, it is a question of the rule of law. Because it is gross human rights violations, it's injustices. And the approach to address injustices is to have laws that are just and fair. So then the legislative arms of the states, of different states, of other states in Africa, have a particular role to play to ensure that now the Bill of Rights are there too. Now the people's rights, dignity, right to life are respected right across the globe. So that can be done not only by political statements, but the legislative arm. There must be laws in place that protect the humans, different people of the countries, the civilians, the women and children, the most vulnerable people in the society.
Well, thanks for that, Mr. Solani. We now take a short break before we continue with our topic on how Africa is isolating the criminal Israeli regime. Stay with us.
Africa isolating Israeli apartheid regime.
You're listening to Africa Today. Africa Today is an analytical weekly review of political, economic, and social events in Africa, the world's second largest continent. The series is broadcast every week on Saturdays and Sundays by IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back. We are focusing on how the Israeli regime's genocidal war against Palestinians in Gaza is leading to its isolation in Africa. Many African governments have always supported an independent Palestine. In the current crisis, African governments universally oppose the Israeli regime's genocidal war against Palestinians in Gaza. Julius Malema, the leader of South Africa's Economic Freedom Fighters Party, recently went to Kenya to establish the Pan-African Institute in the country. He told the audience that no one could claim to be a true Pan-Africanist without supporting the oppressed in Palestine. Let's take a listen.
This Nelson Mandela you celebrate, for 27 years, he was in prison because he was a terrorist. What crime did he commit, which the Palestinians are not committing? His crime was to fight for the liberation of the people of South Africa and the oppressed world all over, including the people of Palestine. At the age of 9 years, the Boers walked into my house and turned everything upside down, stripped my mother naked. When I see what those children of Palestine are going through, I can immediately relate that this is what apartheid looks like. We cannot be Pan-Africanist if we can't associate with the oppressed nation. Our Pan-Africanism is based on the basis that we are an oppressed nation ourselves. And everywhere else where we see an oppressed person, that person is our sister, that person is our mother, that person is our father, because we are not free until the whole world is free from imperialism and colonialism.
This for Mr. Yekini in Nigeria. Now, what's your take on this statement by Julius Malema?
Yes, I think the concept of Pan-Africanism is rooted in the collective experience of the continent as a former colonial enclave, which suffered a series of Western European aggression, like I said earlier, starting from slavery to colonialism and neo-colonialism. The sense to forge a common front as Africans and confront Western imperialism gave birth to the concept of Pan-Africanism or of being an Africanist, and that is somebody who really wants the emancipation, total emancipation of the African continent economically, politically, socially, and culturally from the apron string of the West. So Malema is right.
Moroccans also take part in regular rallies across the country, and particularly in the capital, Rabat, to protest atrocities carried out against Palestinians by the Western-backed Israeli apartheid regime. They have defied the country's monarchy that normalized ties with the Israeli regime. A demonstrator hopes their voice will be heard by officials in the country. The monarchy in Morocco is under increasing pressure to listen to the masses and abandon ties with the Tel Aviv regime.
I think what we should be able to take out, most importantly, is that what we've witnessed happening in Rabat in Morocco, where we are having people organizing themselves under the political circumstances that they might find themselves in, because a monarchy system is a very unique system that generally has its own way, modus operandi, on how things play out. But what we've been able to witness in Rabat, it's because people have been saying that we've been witnessing what is happening in the Israel and Palestine, and I think it is important that it must come to an end now. So I think, therefore, irrespective of whatever the monarchy might be thinking, I think if I were the monarchy, I'd advise, or the possible approach for the monarchy is to listen to the views of the voices of the people, because that voice is very loud, and it because it takes something very special. It is a rare occasion that people make a voice outside what the monarchy would say. So it becomes important because the monarchy itself is a leader and should be the voice of the people.
South Africa and Algeria have called for the Hague-based International Criminal Court, or ICC, to hold the Israel apartheid regime accountable for violations of international criminal law in its genocidal war on Gaza. South African Foreign Minister Naledi Pandor has called on the ICC to act against Israeli regime leaders, including Benjamin Netanyahu. She made the remarks in the country's parliament recently during a debate on Palestine.
The murder of children, of women, and the aged by Israel is an act that should have resulted in the International Criminal Court issuing an immediate arrest warrant for key decision makers, including Mr. Netanyahu, who is responsible for violations of international criminal law.
Now, this goes for Mr. Shakiro in Nigeria. Now, as we know, most African countries are members of the International Criminal Court. So can they use their power to compel this court to issue arrest warrants for Israeli regime war criminals, particularly Mr. Netanyahu?
Those who are members of that, who are signatories to the ICC statutes, should use their power, should use their the position of their membership to demand the issuance of arrest warrant, such that, and they should also prepare grounds in their countries, just in case any of these war criminals from Tel Aviv should land on their soil at any moment, they should be arrested and should be sent to the ICC. I think the African nations, they have that moral right, they have the legal right, as well as the historical right to make sure that not only their citizens are sent to the ICC, but those who think they are more superior to other people, once they land on the soil of Africa, those who are members should demand the issue of a warrant of arrest and should prepare the ground to make the arrest whenever they are issued.
Since the start of Israel's genocidal war on Gaza, we have seen protests across Africa and varied responses by African governments.
Ghana has also witnessed massive pro-Palestinian demonstrations.
Now, this question goes to Mr. Solani in South Africa. Now, in your opinion, what role can trade union movements in Africa play in the boycott of the Israeli apartheid regime?
Are the progressive forces in the society? They're the working class. So they represent the working class. And those that contribute a huge role in the economic activities in each and every country. That is why I will argue that capitalism is thriving because of labor. That is because of the working class. So these are the people that play a particular sector in the society that plays a very progressive role in our society. So it is important that they've got a particular role and they organize themselves to fight against this sickness of Israel in Palestine. So it is very important. They've got a very important role to play when they organize workers and be able to send a strong message right across. And we've seen it, we've learned the lessons in the context of South Africa and the South African apartheid, where we're able to pick up the role of the trade unions that they played in organizing a well, driving a well machinery in trying to fight against the regime of the apartheid in South Africa. And in the continent as well, this is a very important sector of the society.
The Secretary General of the ruling ANC party in South Africa says they are decisive in expressing solidarity with Palestine.
The situation demands of us to react decisively. There is no retreat from the Israeli government, bombing of refugee camps, bombing of hospitals, all of that is happening right now. So the action we're calling for is informed by the events on the ground. And we've got to be decisive in expressing our solidarity. Actually, for the isolation of the Israeli apartheid state.
Now, our last question goes to Mr. Yekini in Nigeria. Now, what's your take on the reaction by African governments and people towards the Israeli regime's genocidal crimes in Gaza?
You will recall that as we speak, not all the countries are on the same page, but majority of African countries are of the opinion that diplomatic relations should be put on hold with regard to what is going on in Gaza. So if you look at the people of Africa as on one part, you will find out that the urge and the support to make sure that Israel is punished for its crimes, and Palestinians are protected and given their state, you have a very massive number of Africans supporting that particular move.
Well, there you have it. Most people in Africa do not want any ties with the Israeli regime and are supporting the establishment of an independent Palestinian state. I'd like to thank our guests today, Sifiso Solani in South Africa and Shakiru Yekini in Nigeria for their insight. That's all we had for this week's edition of Africa Today. Goodbye for now. We'll be right back.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions in practical tajweed rules held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International School Network. So I really welcome Brother Ali Nasir, Hussein Ruhullah and Hassan Nasrullah today in our Quranic class. How are you?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And Hassan?
Fine, sir.
I really welcome you all, inshallah. Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 144 of Surah Ali Imran and page 67 or 8?
8.
Huh? 8. On page 68. So, brothers and sisters, turn to page 68, Ayah 144 of Surah Ali Imran. Let's listen.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وما محمد إلا رسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل أفإن مات أو قتلا انقلبتم على أعقابكم ومن ينقلب على عقبيه فلن يضر الله شيئا وسيجزي الله الشاكرين.
Nice one. Nice recitation, mashallah, mashallah. Allah Almighty says in Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 144, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما محمد إلا رسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. So, this ayah tells Muslims an important point, okay? A very important point. And it's right after the Battle of Uhud. The second battle. The Battle of Uhud. Right?
Yes.
Which the Muslims got defeated. During the battle, okay, somebody, one of the enemies, one of the soldiers of the enemies, threw a stone and hit our holy prophet, our dear prophet, on the forehead. Okay? On the forehead. And once the enemies claimed, okay, started, okay, screaming that, oh, the prophet died, God forbid, okay? So the enemies, kind of...
Propaganda.
Yeah, propaganda, this kind of propaganda, okay? They started saying these things. And then the Muslims, so prophet was alive. And the Muslims, some of the Muslims, okay, they lost their confidence. They said, oh God, they ran away, started running away. So what? Allah Almighty says, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. Muhammad is nothing else but an apostle. He is a messenger. He's a prophet from Allah Almighty. An apostle from Allah Almighty. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ. And other apostles, prophets have passed before him as well.
There were many other prophets as well before our prophet. Right? So, أَفَإِمَّاتَ أَوْ قُتِلْ if he dies or if he is slain, he's killed, for example, إِنْ قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ will you turn back on your heels? Will you turn your faces? Will you turn away from Islam? Huh? Is that the case? If the Prophet passed away or got martyred, so yeah, will you turn back? There will be no Islam? Is that the case? Allah Almighty is asking us a question and also like kind of trying to tell us that you never have to do this. Okay? Got it?
Yes.
So guys, فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِ اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ and soon Allah will reward the grateful. Those people, one of the ways to be grateful to Allah Almighty is to follow the religion. Yeah? If you want to be grateful to Allah Almighty, because Allah Almighty has created us, He has given us wisdom, knowledge, life. So if we want to give thanks to Allah Almighty, we should be on His way. Things He has said, we have to listen to Him, right? That's it. So guys, the very important point is this, that if Prophet is a human being like us, yes, he lives among us, he eats, yes, he sleeps like us, he lives, okay? So he is a normal person, like a human being. He also passes away, right? Like normal people. So, but his school of thought, his religion does not die. The imams come, other leaders come, okay? So we don't have to be like only thinking of about the Prophet, that if the Prophet passes away, oh, there is no Islam. Islam, wassalam. No. Islam is alive, okay? We have to follow, we have to continue, support Islam, we have to believe in Islam. That's the guidance. So guys, inshallah, I want you to refer to the Tafsir book. There are a lot of points to learn and... Inshallah, I hope you as well, inshallah, get the chance to help us, help other people as well, learn about these verses more, inshallah. Qur'ani fi qalbi dawman yaghmuruni min faydi dhiya ayatul IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran. So let's move on to the Tajweed rules. Today, we will explain the tajweed rules in this ayah, Hassan, Hussein Ali Nasir, okay? Then we'll move on to the recitation. Ready?
Yep. Yes.
وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَجِّ الْفَرَجُ The mim is mushaddad there. You have to stretch the sound. Produce a nasal sound also. Dun ends with tanween. It has a tanween. Tanween dhamma. After the tanween, you have hamza. So you read the tanween clearly. There is no changes.
Yeah.
Right? Dun illa. Wa ma muhammadun illa. Allahumma salli ala muhammadin. Guys, whenever you hear the name of the Prophet, what?
Recite
the salawat. Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala an-nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu. Taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil. And the Prophet was asked once, okay, how, Muslim asked the Prophet that, how, O Prophet, O Holy Prophet, how can we recite salawat? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, recite salawat this way. This is the complete salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. That's what all Muslims, not only Shia Muslims, Sunni Muslims as well, they recite salawat the way we recite in their prayer. If in their prayer they do not recite this kind of salawat, okay, their prayer is not acceptable. Got it? So salawat, the correct salawat is this way. So you always have to say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Got it?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, That's it. That's the correct way to recite the salawat. Illa rasulun. Tanween plus qaf. Qaf matches the letters of ikhfa. Ikhfa says you should hide the sound of the tanween. Rasulun qad. Qad. Dal says, dal sakin says you should apply the rule.
Qal.
Qal. Qal. The echoing sound. Yes?
Yeah.
Qad. Qad khalat. Min qablihi, again nun sakin like tanween plus qaf. Qaf matches the ikhfa rule and you should hide the sound. Min qablihi rusul, again ba is sakin the same as dal, should hide the echoing sound. Read it with an echoing sound. Five letters are there, yes, literally. Qaf, ta, ta, ba, jim and
dal.
These five letters, Hassan, whenever they appear sakin, you should read them with an echoing sound. Qad, qab, right?
Yes.
Jim says, it's okay if you stop, and it's okay if you continue. Optional, right? Afa in mata, afa in mata. In, nun sakin, plus meme. Nun sakin, plus meme. After nun sakin, if you got meme, ya, ra, lam, wow, nun, one of these letters. Ya rumalun letters. You should merge the sound. Afa im in, no, im, merge the noon into me. Immata aw qutila. Qutila ends with fatha. Now next word starts with hamzatul wasl and you have a noon sakin. Join this lam with that noon sakin. Qutilan qalabtum. Hamzatul wasl we skipped.
Yeah.
Because you join the words. So قُتِلًا قَالَبْتُمْ. And by the way, nun sakin plus qaf. Qaf is?
From rest of the letters.
It matches the rule. إخفاء, hide the sound. قُتِلًا قَالَبْتُمْ لَبْتُمْ بَاقَلْقَلَ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. عَلَىٰ, the mad is not wajib, but you can stretch it for 5-6 counts. عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ, again, idgham. وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ, merge it. يَنْقَلِبْ, يَنْقَلِبْ, إِخْفَى, hide the sound. وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ, قَلِبْ, again, بَاسَاكِنْ, قَلْقَلْ. عَلَى عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. فَلَنْ, again, merge the sound. يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ, Allah is pronounced heavily. Allah, this way, not Allah. شَيْئًا, if you stop here, the tanween fatha changes to alif mad. Shay'a qila tells you it's better to stop here. Wasayajzillahu, look this way, this one Allah is pronounced with a light sound. Wasayajzillahu, the rule says if there is a kasra, read it with an a sound. If there is a fatha or dhamma before the word Allah, read it with an a sound. Wasayajzillahu shakirin. Listen and repeat now that we have finished the tajweed rules. Listen and repeat. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ.
وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ.
أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ.
أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ.
وَمَن يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَن يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا.
وَمَن يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَن يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا.
أحسن, فَلَن يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ.
وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ.
صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أحسنتم. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us. That's from us for today. And inshallah, we'll be here with you in the coming sessions tomorrow at the same time. Stay with IRB English Radio. Thank you so much. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Headlines. A temporary pause in the deadly Israeli war in Gaza enters its second day amid reports of the regime's violations of the four-day truce. Israel continues deadly attacks on Palestinians in the occupied West Bank, this time killing a medical doctor. And rallies have been held across the world in solidarity with Palestinians who have been under Israeli bombardment in Gaza for almost 50 days. This is news. Thanks for joining us. In defiance of Israeli threats, Palestinians have been celebrating the release of their prisoners by the regime as part of a four-day truce. The 39 released Palestinians are all women and children. Israel had threatened to rearrest the prisoners